Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Turner Sparks and Sir Michael Ira Kaplan are on a quest to explore every town in America through the eyes of the scumbags, scoundrels, and world-touring comedians who grew up there. Who knows what they'll find out? This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 179, Kaplan.
Yeah.
My name is Turner Sparks. With me is Sir Michael Ira Kaplan. You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at KAP, Kaplan America on Instagram. On the podcast today, we have Misha Kalin, stand-up comedian Misha Kalin, calling us in from Belarus.
Yeah, he's a young man from, he made it from Milan to Minsk. And he's going to give us all about it. Or he's in Minsk.
He's from Minsk. One of our favorite. I mean, Belarus has really been in the news recently, Kaplan. So we says to ourselves, we got to find somebody in Belarus. I said, ooh, my old friend Misha Kalin. We've been friends for, I don't know, 15 years at this point. We started our comedy careers together at the Drunken Clam in Suzhou, China. We were living down the street from each other. And now, since recently, I think the last couple of years, he's moved back to Belarus. Now that the Belarusian president has made news for calling for the cure for coronavirus, he calls vodka and saunas.
Vodka and sauna. He's kept most of the country open, is my understanding.
Yeah, they're not social distancing. So this is a real test case. We're going to call Misha later to figure out what's going on. But before that, Cap, should I do my Zoom announcements? I mean, I'm a Zoom comedian.
Yeah, let's break some Zoom news.
Some Zoom news. Guys, stand-up comedy, my last show I did was on March 5th or 6th, I say, something like that. Right?
Wow.
Now,
who knew?
I didn't know that would be it.
And did you do a really good set that day? And not knowing it, or you didn't know?
I think it was pretty good. Yeah, my last show was at the Living Room Show, Postmark Cafe.
Oh, good.
In Brooklyn, New York. And now my first show back will also be at the Living Room Show, Postmark Cafe. But instead of being at Brooklyn, New York, instead of being at the Postmark, we're doing this on Zoom. So we used to do this show Friday nights, every Friday at 8 p.m. in Brooklyn. We would have this show. So now we are going to have this exact same show this Friday night. We're testing it out. Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's myself and Aaron Camino Smith, the guy I started the show with. We're going to do it on Zoom. If you want to get into that show, you can register. I'll have the link up on turnersparks.com under my shows. So click through my shows and find it. That's on Friday, May 8th, I think is the date. And click the link, reserve your seat. It is a free reservation, but reserve it, and then you will get emailed a Zoom link where you can Zoom into this show. I think we only have, we made 50 tickets available about 12 hours ago. We have like 11 left. So we might have to make some more available, but either way, we're running low. So do it immediately.
And make sure to drink 2 drinks at home. While you're washed.
2 drinks at home. Next Monday, 9:15 p.m., Gus Tate and I are linking up with the New York Comedy Club, and we're doing another show. So that's 9:15 Eastern on Monday. You can watch me, or 8 p.m. Eastern. 8 p.m. Eastern Monday. I mean, Friday, May 8th, 9:15 p.m. Eastern Monday, May 11th. That's it. Now let's get to the show, Cap.
All right. What do we got today?
How are you doing?
Doing good. How are you, man?
There's a lot of announcements to get through. I apologize. We also have Patreon subscribers. Should we get to them?
Oh, yeah. We are. This is our free show, but we do have a more important show, obviously, which is our Patreon show. We have got 10 new subscribers last week.
We've had 10 subscribers this week, which is insane. So that show, we do it every Tuesday through Friday, every single week. So Monday is here for free. If you want the extra 4 days, it's for $5 a month. You get the extra 4 shows a week. It's just me and Cap, no guests. We're talking every day. Cap, our shout out to all of our new subscribers this week. We have Ann Patton. We have Henry Bone Ellis, the great Henry Bone Ellis. We have Casey Ellis, his wife, who is, I promise, I don't know. I've known Casey my whole life. I've actually never met Henry Bone in person, but we gave Henry Bone a shout out without Casey. So Casey Ellis, they're both in Dallas, Texas. We have Eric Wolf signed up in Denver, Colorado.
What's going on, Eric?
Kim Trogio, also in Denver. We have Turner Woodard out there in Indianapolis, Indiana. We have Peggy Hayden in Carlsbad, New Mexico. We have Linda Van Dam, I believe, in Sacramento, California. She is in Sacramento, or maybe a suburb. Pat Godlove, also in Sacramento. David Sabin, who is an old college. He is a fraternity brother of Gary Sparks's, as is Turner Woodard.
Sigma Chi, baby.
Sigma Chi. I remember I said the other day that these people were all, it was the big Gentile fraternity. I have been corrected. David Sabin is in fact Jewish.
Oh yeah, Sabin's a Jewish last name.
So there you go.
He was the one. Brother Goldstein gave him a tour.
Goldstein. Yes, exactly.
They have to have a token. They have to have one.
And rounding it out, we have my cousin Terry Headley out there in Portland, Oregon. So we are covering. Oh, and Ann Patton is in Oakland, Alameda.
So we've got the whole country covered right now.
We have
this
the entire country. We have people signing up all over the country. We have 45 subscribers. We're making $262 a month.
If we get to $400 a month, for those of you who haven't subscribed yet, we're going to do a big party in New York City.
We're going to have a yearly, should we call it a convention? It's almost like
convention,
Comic-Con.
Yes.
Like Comic-Con.
Yes. Lost in America Con.
Yes. Loser Con.
Loser Con. That's good. Loser Lands. I don't know.
We're $132 away from that, Cap. You and I host it. We do a live podcast at a comedy club. We have a happy hour before or a drinks after. We haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
Maybe a reality tour. Maybe we take people around New York City. We go to the Friars. Maybe we go all over the place. Who knows?
We'll see. We'll see. We haven't planned it all out yet. We're doing something is the point.
But the point is, it's on us because we're starting to make a little money.
And it's only for Patreons, though. You got to be a Patreon. I don't care how many free episodes you listen to. You're not coming to our party.
None of you gin poppers.
Yeah, exactly.
0%.
Now, and you're also missing out on, like, when Turner says, how you doing? If this is the Patreon show, I would have launched into a whole story about another fight I witnessed in my park. Outside, I see parks every day, but I don't know. I give these stories to the free people.
Listen to Patreon. Every day. Yeah,
people, it's boiling over. People are like a soccer ball gets kicked by accident, innocently by a kid, and hits somebody who's walking by. Tensions are so high that the woman just loses it and starts screaming. I guess I am telling them so. The woman just loses it, starts screaming at the guy that kicked the soccer ball and yells, "You, what are you fucking doing?" And then a little girl rides by on her bike. And then the girl yells at him, "Look what you made me do. You made me curse in front of a little girl." Like, she's blaming the soccer guy. That's how tense everyone is right now. It's always between people walking dogs and not
you made me. I believe the kids call that gaslighting, Kaplan.
That's gaslighting.
If I'm using it correctly. You made me do this.
You made me curse because the soccer ball accidentally hit her.
Oh, my God.
That's how tense everyone is in Long Island City. So we're tense. And every day on the Pitch-In Show, I unload a little bit of the tense. I give it to people. So I give you the stories, what's going on.
You unload your frustration onto others.
I pass it along, exactly.
You pass it along. Cap, we have important
Turner's
business.
Sitting there chilling in Arlington. Yes, what's going on?
I'm chilling in Arlington, Virginia. Yeah, we have important business to get to, Kaplan. We've talked about this on the Patreon show. We have, and we've talked about it on the main show, we have Red Circle, who is this company who's helping us to get advertisers for this show. But in the meantime, they have this idea. Before we get advertisers, we can pick a podcast partner. That means another podcast that we maybe record a little ad for them. We send it their way. They record a little ad for us. They send it our way. We advertise their show on our show. They advertise our show on their show. And we see
quid pro quo.
Yeah. If we could quid pro quo, as our president would call it. And we'll see if we can cross pollinate our listeners. So what I thought we should do today, I suss through it all because there's hundreds of podcasts over there. I picked the top five and you and I can decide which ones to go for. Now, I realized immediately some of these are below us. And I mean, they don't have as many listeners as us.
Frankly, well, do we want to help them out?
Frankly, they're not as good as us. There's also some that are above us. If we get so many subscribers, they might get double the amount of we do. So I wanted to put it at, and then some are right at our level. So much like applying for college, I wanted to set this up where you pick the schools you want to go to. You have a dream school. You have a dream pod.
Okay.
That you're just applying to, aspirational. Yeah. And then you have your safety school.
Safety school.
So I'm going to go through these one by one.
University of Miami was your safety school or your dream school?
It was my, I think I can get in school.
Yeah.
My dream school, I think, was Boston College. I'm glad I didn't go. I didn't get in. Wow. I wouldn't have gone there anyway. I can't stand that whole region of the United States. Okay.
Yeah, that would change everything about you.
Everything about me. Let's go. Here we go. First one, and I want you to give me some feedback. First school, first podcast. There's a podcast called Connor Wanders, hosted by someone named Connor Moore.
Oh.
It says, current events to book reviews and topical rants, Connor lets his imagination and his mouth run wild. Now, my first thought here is this is too close to us. I don't think we want to do this.
Yeah, do you know this guy, Connor Moore? Have you heard of him? Is he a comedian?
I don't know. No, I don't know who this is. This is just Red Circle had suggested him. Maybe you'd want to do it with him. He has about the same amount of listeners as we do. But I think let's skip this one because...
I don't like anyone named Connors, frankly.
Good point. I have one for Connor Nolan. He's a nice guy. Besides him, everybody's out. Every other Connor.
Oh, Connor. His name's Connor. I thought, okay.
Connor Wanders. I don't think it's good because we don't want people listening to something that's like us.
What if he has a better imagination and a wilder mouth than us?
Exactly. We don't want a wilder mouth. No,
we don't want anyone better than us.
The wildest mouth in the West.
Exactly.
Yeah. So next one up, winning cures everything. Now this is a sports podcast. And after I went through Connor Wanders, I says the rest has to be sports because we don't do sports, but I think sports people would like us. Also, here's the thing. There's another section for politics, and I skipped that because I think if you listen to a politics podcast, you're probably smarter than us, and you don't want to get your politics from us.
Interesting theory.
But if you listen to sports, you're probably dumber than us, and if you would think we're smart by getting your politics from us, you think, you know, it's like the people who get their politics from the punk bands or from The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. Those people are morons.
Well, they think they're smart, though.
Yeah, but then they think those people are smarter than them. But if you actually are smart, you look at those people and you're like, oh, these people are idiots. So we're going to stick with sports people and try to draw them in. So
Similar demographic.
Yeah, so here's one. It's called Winning Cures Everything. This is their description. We do picks, previews, sports, and guy talk with Gary Seegers and Chris Giannani. These guys focus on college football, the NFL, and sports gambling, but the conversation hits on all sports in the offseason, along with whatever topics are interesting. What do you think about that, Cap?
Well, first of all, their title, I don't know, Winning Cures Everything. It's not very catchy, but I don't think we should. I normally would be like, yeah, a gambling partnership could be good, but I'm thinking more short term. Maybe we circle back down the road, but short term, I mean, there's no sports right now, so I can't imagine what they're even – I mean, unless they can come up with like – what are the countries? Belarus, who we're gonna talk about later. There's one Nicaragua soccer. There's Korean baseball.
The places that are still having sports.
If they can be experts in those things, so I can gamble and make some money, then they have something to give me. But I don't know how many other people are big enough, generous, that are listening to that. So I feel like they're not gonna help us right now. They're gonna help us maybe down the road.
Maybe, but let's keep going because a lot of the rest of these are sports, so we don't want to nix this whole idea immediately.
Right. Okay. But I think
this will be homework for our listeners. Go listen. Let's all go listen to Winning Cures Everything. We'll come back next week. And you guys can, if you're a Patreon subscriber, you can email us directly. You have the email address. We can decide together if we like this show or not. Okay. Next up, Cap, the Texas Water Polo Podcast.
Ooh, now this I like.
This one's specific, but I looked it up. They have about the same amount of downloads as we do, so they're doing something right. And we're not anything small with the podcast market. We're doing all right. So this says all things water polo in the Lone Star State, brought to you by the creators of Total Water Polo. Here's a couple things I like. One, it's in Texas. We've already established that's a good market for me. Texas loves me. I love Texas.
Yeah, okay. The great state.
Number two,
beautiful people.
It might become its own country. I might move there. I might need to zero in.
Right.
That's all for that. Let's put a pin in that. Let's keep going. Next up, these are suggested by Red Circle to us. The Coz and Brew Show. The Coz and Brew Show is a weekly NBA podcast, including fake sponsors and sketch comedy, brought to you by NBC Sports' Aaron Bruschi and Cozy Chinayani. Now, can I tell you why I brought this one up, Cap?
Fake sponsors?
Because I've been listening to Aaron Bruschi's podcast for like 3 years.
Oh,
I am familiar with this show. And Aaron Bruschi is from Sacramento. He lives in Sacramento. He covers the Kings.
That's a good one.
This is his NBA-wide podcast, but he is a Kings guy. I think we can get a lot of crossover Sacramento people
All right.
We open our show by saying,
yeah, the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, what do we say? Something
I pump up. You know,
I will pump up Sacramento. Yes.
You
don't know. So that could be good. Okay.
I like that one. Okay.
Last option, Trumbull Dads. I looked this up. This is a real podcast. Now, Trumbull, Connecticut. Dad's from Connecticut.
Wait, is Joe Garrick's on this pod?
Joe Garrick's is from Trumbull, Connecticut.
Yeah.
If he's not on this pod, he should be. Dad's from Connecticut talking NFL. Oh,
he's not a dad, I guess.
And the kids playing soccer. Now, I think this is out, but I think we should give this one to Joe Garrick's.
Whoa. Any podcast that talks about kids playing soccer and their kids playing soccer,
ooh.
I mean, this is huge crossover potential. As someone who, I mean, I was supposed to coach yet another season of Teddy Soccer this year. It unfortunately got canceled. Unlike other sports just suspended their years, our season was canceled.
Yes.
So the dreams, but I am dreaming of a day down the road where I'll be coaching soccer again. I have a lot of experience, so I feel like we have some crossover, you know, maybe I can be on there. I could get some tips.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, you could be a guest. All right, well, so these are the ones we're going to save.
I like the Texas water polo. I would like to save them, too, because it's so random. Like, I don't know anything about water polo. I find that educational.
But would their listeners like us?
I think so, because what is a water polo? I don't know. What do you think a water polo listener was like?
Well, we talk about – do we talk about water? I mean, I drink water on the air when we're recording, so there is some.
Yeah, about that. You're right.
We don't talk a lot about water polo.
I don't know anything. I played water polo, like, as a kid, you know? That was the game where you throw the ball. You're in the pool, right?
Yeah, your it's goalie. Like Marco Polo with a ball. I think that's where it goes.
No, you have goals. It pays off to be tall, I think, because it's like you can dominate the deep end.
Our high school, Jesuit High School, had like the number one water polo team in the state or something, and they were all very tall. That is true.
Yeah, it might be a douchier audience, though, than we like to attract.
I think it might be. I think you're right. Yeah, it's a little bit, it's like surfer jock is their audience.
Yeah, lacrosse. Yeah, I don't like, yeah, fuck
that's
them.
Not us. That's not,
not us.
So no. Let's listen to the Coz and Brew Show. I'm going to stick to them because that's Sacramento, and I genuinely think people might already know me who listen to that show as a fan.
All right, listen to that, and I'm going to listen to Trumbull Dads.
Trumbull Dads and Winning Cures Everything. Those are the three. We'll pick one next week. How about that? Tell you, I don't want to say which is which, but one of these is clearly a reach, one is clearly right on target, and one's a safety school.
All right.
I think you can pick. I think you can decide which one Trumbull Dads might be.
Okay. I don't want to give it away.
Kaplan, but Misha Kalin is on the line. Let's bring him
Belarus.
In.
Patch him in.
Patch him in. All right, we're back with Misha Kalin. What's up,
yes.
Dude?
How's it going, man?
Hey,
man.
Welcome to the pod.
Hey, I'm honored to be here.
Misha in Belarus, in Minsk, right?
Minsk.
I knew I would pronounce that incorrectly, right, when I said it.
Minsk is my safe word.
So how's it going over there, man?
Listen, it's going well. It's finally warming up. We still had snow. It would snow like occasionally in April, so that sucked. But in terms of the COVID pandemic, man, we're like we're probably the only country who doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I know. So what? Let's start with why.
Because our president thinks that you can cure it. First of all, he's like a COVID denier, you know, he's like a flat earther. And he thinks that as long as you go out and you like, go out into the field and drive a tractor and you work and you play ice hockey and pet cute animals, you're going to be healed. And I swear to God, this is like direct quote, basically. I'm paraphrasing, but this is literally what he said.
Oh yeah, I believe it. We read one of his stories on the podcast a couple weeks ago, or what his the big headline was that he believed saunas and vodka
yeah
was the cure.
Yeah, well, lots of people thought saunas, like Joe Rogan was saying that sauna yeah. might.
Jimmy Schubert
on our yeah. show a couple weeks ago yeah. agreed with the president of Belarus.
And well, what did he do? Did he have you guys, did he have free saunas for people? Like, could everyone come to a sauna for free, let poor people in, everybody?
A lot of people have saunas, you know, who live in the countryside, and we have like public saunas, which is, you know, obviously a terrible idea. But I guess sauna is
it's hot.
Sauna is generally good for you for like keeping your immune system sort of better, right? So I guess maybe it works like that. Because, I mean, it's a very complicated issue, right? Like those machines that ventilate your lungs, you know? At first, people are like, hey, let's put everybody on them. And then we're like, oh, shit, they kill people, you know? And then it's like masks, they save you, right? But if you wear a mask for too long, it's actually, it's got a bunch of germs and you're more likely to get sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
well,
that's what they say.
They were telling us a month ago or 2 months ago not to wear masks. They're like, absolutely do not. And then they,
exactly.
they just flipped.
Yep.
And they're like, now everyone needs one.
Well, they were saying that, yeah, that we were taking them from healthcare workers who needed them, and we didn't need them. It didn't prevent. And they realized, oh, whoops, it actually helped.
Also, right. And you can wear the N95, those 3M masks that we used to wear in China all the time. I don't know if you did, but during the small times, during the AQI 300 plus, we would wear those all the time. So I was quite well versed, and I knew that, you know, those, they like basically all the tiny particles do not come through. So those might protect you from the virus actually going in. But those other just cloth masks, they just kind of protect others from your spit and everything. But hey, in Belarus, nobody wears
anything. Yeah.
Is that true? No one wears a mask?
I mean, like 20% of the people. You go out into the street, and honestly, when it was like 150 people infected, more people wore them than now it's like 15,000. And everybody's like, we're just going to fucking die, whatever.
And what about the vodka? Was everyone taking up his advice and getting drunk, or is it just normal?
Yeah, but that's like nothing has changed. You know, yeah. Belarus, if you look at the countries who drink the most, we are always tied with Moldova for number one.
Moldova?
Is that even a country still?
That's a country.
Yeah, it's a country. I mean, there's a part of it that's still like part of the Soviet Union.
That's what I was thinking,
So it's complicated, but yeah, for sure.
So what is daily life like? Is it just exactly the same as before?
Pretty much. I mean, listen, for instance, today I have a little shop downstairs in my apartment building. So I go out there, and I mean, I am a responsible citizen of this planet, you know, so I do my part, you know, but I do have to go out because my ex-wife, who's a great friend of mine, you know, but she's a teacher, and now she has to teach remotely. So I have to babysit. She's got like a 3-year-old baby. Toddler, whatever.
Is that your baby? No.
but she's my goddaughter. And also my son, who's 12 now, by the way. But he's, you know, he's giant. Turner saw him when he was probably like also tiny. Like
I knew
five
him when he
six.
Was like 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. Yeah,
exactly. Now he's 12. He's like a skater and everything, you know. Yeah.
So
I mean,
what's he doing? Is he in school or is school canceled?
No. Some schools, they force you to go to school. Our school,
they force you to go to school.
I swear to God. Yeah. And
I'm moving to Belarus.
Many people do that.
Do you guys have a right of return? Because the Kaplan's turn. I don't know if you know this. Belarus is where I'm from.
Oh, for real?
Well, it wasn't called Belarus then, though. It was before it was a country, but that area, the world.
Right.
That's where the Kaplinskis are for. Yeah, so maybe I can come back there. I don't know. It wasn't in Minsk. I don't know what town we were from, but I got to look that up. But maybe we can come. Yeah, because I'll go anywhere to put the kids in school. That's my point. I got to get out of my house.
Hey, you got to come for like the soul searching. You know, Adam, Adam Levinson, he did that in Ukraine.
He's been on our podcast, Adam Van Levinson, the author.
Yeah. So yeah, do that thing that he did. We had a lot of fun in Odessa. So you can do the same. I'll show you around, man.
Nice.
If we're not all dead and everything.
It's like the only place in the world where you can go to like bars, right? I mean, is there anywhere else?
Right now.
The best nightlife in the entire world.
Yeah. But listen, it's getting pretty dire because I think as of this week or like late last week. We started breaking some records. But listen, officially, our death statistic is very low.
Oh, that's all that matters.
That's official.
Official. I go by the official numbers, not the fake news.
Yeah. Well, yeah, who knows? The official sort of story is that we test so damn much, and that's why the numbers are high, you know? But the death rate is low. It's like 100 people.
Oh,
well, I saw amazing. That. I looked up the numbers right before we started. It was 17,000 cases and 103 deaths total.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is
that's like, amazing.
I mean,
they're killing it.
Well, but people say, hey, you know, some people die of pneumonia and everything, and it's true, you know. So it, you know, yeah. That's
car
how
accidents.
It works.
Yeah, yeah. People get it's more happened. People get eaten by sharks.
People get thrown out of windows every day. Nobody starts, nobody closes up windows. I mean, it gets rid of bans windows. So
exactly.
So what do the people think? Like, do people believe this idea that there's only 103 and that it's not a big deal? Or are people like masking up? Oh, you said that people aren't masking mostly.
But. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you sit in the progressive part of Twitter verse. Of Belarus.
Belarus and Twitter.
Belarus has a progressive Twitterverse?
Yes, yes, yes.
It's like three wow. people.
I'm done. Yeah. I'm not moving. Yeah.
But listen, it's the same as, you know, they're kind of like the Democratic Party in the United States, you know? So they're very militant, you know? And if they see you without a mask, they'd be like, hey, where's your mask? You know, these people, right?
Oh, yeah,
so they're at home. Yeah, so, but those are the sort of IT people who work remotely and they don't really give a shit, you know?
The IT people.
Right. Yeah, because Belarus is called, if you didn't know, it's the IT nation.
Oh, what? Really?
I thought that was, yeah. For Europe or for Eastern Europe? Or?
Yeah, but it's mainly outsourcing. So Silicon Valley is outsourcing all their engineering work to Belarus and other Eastern European countries.
So they're not doing like anything India. In Silicon Valley.
Because it's expensive. Come on, you yeah. know, an engineer, you got to pay him like $300,000 a year minimum, you know, maybe two or 300,000. Here you can get the same quality of work for 50K and the person's going to be super wow. happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a good living, right?
50K is amazing living. My apartment is amazing. And I pay $500 a month, dude.
Wow.
I mean, listen, Kaplan and I are both on welfare. I haven't even qualified yet.
Yeah.
So 50K a year would be amazing in New York City for us right now. I've been denied. My brother Tyler,
no,
yesterday,
our,
Tyler.
Our welfare is more than that, though. If you get it.
If you can get it. Yeah.
If you get it. It's like 66K a year if you add it up.
Yesterday, yeah. Tyler Sparks was talking to me. He's like, hey, we need to go in. I found a house down the street. We can go in and buy it together. I'm like, how can I qualify for a housing loan? I can't even qualify for welfare.
Yeah.
Dude, at least you're living your dream, you know? Because I'm still I'm a sales guy, you know? Like, I do sales for a startup, you know? That's, for a comedian, it's kind of fun. For a comedian, it's fun. If I wasn't a comedian, I would think it sucks.
So can you do comedy right now?
No.
Okay. That's where they drew the line, no comedy? Everything else goes?
All the mass. We still have, ironically, we still have like soccer matches. So soccer matches are cool, but yeah. it's empty, right?
And can you give me a tip on who should I be gambling on? Because I'm jonesing to bet, and I see Belarus soccer listed on my site, but I don't know anything about it. So you got to give me some tips. So
Let me follow up on that.
Okay.
Because I'll check.
I'll check the lines.
It's the only sport in the world you can gamble on right now.
Exactly. Yeah. But I've got some real pros who know their stuff. You know, ooh. I don't want to lie to you, you know.
Okay, good.
But I can get some insider tips, you know.
And are you people wearing – we saw this our story about how earlier in the month people were like paying – they had mannequins at the games and you would like put a mask on. You could pay to have your own face put on a mannequin.
Oh, really? I'm not aware of that.
Oh, okay. Because then you can say you went to the game, basically. When they pan around the crowd, they show your face. And no.
I don't know. But it looks pretty empty. And honestly, you know, all the – basically comedy stopped is because people stopped going. And and the crowds here, this is like the state of comedy prior to COVID thing was amazing. Like if in Shanghai and Suzhou, if we had like 10 people, that was a crowd. There, if it's 10 people, we cancel the show, you know? And I have to tell everybody, it's like, no, let me at least do, like, my set, and then we'll go, you know? Because that's a waste of my evening, no.
I mean, in New York City, if there's two people, you'll do a show.
Exactly, and that's what I would do, and that's how we used to do it, right?
Yeah,
but Yeah, but here, if somebody does like, you know, the headliner, you know, they just do their own show and they're like, ah, shit, kind of sucked. Just 50 people showed up, you know.
Wow, that's pretty good. So comedy's canceled just because it's the government didn't cancel anything. It's just like if you wanted to put on a show tonight, you could do it or no?
It might be like as of recently, you cannot have like mass gatherings. But actually, I think it's still up to 50 people is fine. Oh. But it's just, yeah, but people are just responsible, so they just don't go. And honestly, my first show that I was running, I was supposed to do it on the 20th of March, and we canceled it, even though we didn't have to. But I just didn't feel comfortable doing it. And we already, like, pre-sold 50-plus tickets, you know?
Wow. You're not interested in just killing people so you can try a new punchline?
That's very progressive of you.
I'll be killing literally. Yeah. Boom.
We know your corner of Belarusian Twitter that you're hanging out on.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You get judged. So, you know, I'm scared. I'm just a slave to the public, you know.
So you're
public opinion.
Cap, go ahead.
No, so but things are open. They just have to be small gatherings, like stores and restaurants and.
Yep, yep. Most some of them are closed, but it's mainly some of them.
Their choice.
Down. Yeah, it's their choice.
Oh, this is the real libertarian approach.
Yep.
Kaplan, what do you think if they made it like the choice of the person in the United States, the choice of the small business to close or open? What do you think? What percentage would stay closed?
Well, that's the thing. Everyone wants to reopen, and we have all these protests here. I don't know if you've seen, but a lot of them they could open, but they won't have any customers. Like, cause most people don't want to go. Like, the second they would go to a place if there was nobody else in it, but the second they see a crowd, they're not going to go to a place, and thus, I think a lot of places would stay closed because they're not going to be able to make money.
I'm going to say you know, the opposite. I say that the second you give small businesses a chance to reopen, 100% are reopening.
It depends on what the. They would want to reopen, but I just don't know. They might go out of business. I mean, I've seen places are going out of business, you know.
Kaplan, can I tell you, I have on good authority that there are currently women's hairdressers around the United States right now that are opening and they're doing speakeasy style. They're they're putting newspaper.
Well, that's a high – women need haircuts.
They're
that's
putting
the most
newspaper
thing.
Over their windows saying closed, and then they have a back door and you can go in the back door. This is how Misha and I used to have to do comedy in Suzhou. So there's no one knows about it. You enter through the back door. They email you directly and say like, hey, we're going to be, you can come this day, but it's like, don't tell anybody, don't forward this email. It's literally how we used to sell tickets to our comedy shows.
And now they pour you a shot of whiskey like into those fancy barbershops.
Yeah.
So it's the
equalizer.
Sounds
awesome. Yeah. I can tell you 100% of businesses where the owner has children at home will open up the second they're allowed to get the hell out of the house.
Just to get away.
Dude.
Yes, to get away. Even if there's no customers.
So what's the population roughly of Belarus?
9 million.
9 million and 17,000 cases. I mean, that's not a lot, but it's a reported case.
But it's yeah, exactly. And we do a lot of testing. Supposedly, we do way more testing per whatever than in the U.S. I think, because in the U.S. for a while you had a real problem with testing, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't even do it. They couldn't even get them.
But now we're climbing. I mean, New York's gotten it together. We do a lot of testing in New York. I don't know about the rest of the country, but
it's state by state.
Yeah.
So that's another question. Is this the real issue in America right now is that nothing's being decided for the whole nation. Every state just decides what they want to do. And as you know, having lived here, there's nothing blocking anyone from walking from one state to the next state to the next state. So it's never, is Belarus, well, there's no real restrictions, but would they be nationwide if there was anything?
Right. But honestly, Belarus is not densely populated. Like I kind of see what they're getting at because I can go outside in the evening and not see anybody. Like, social distancing is real easy because it's just our streets are huge. It's like those wide sort of avenues and everything. It's not like China that you like at 4 a.m. The streets are bustling. You have to jump over a baby. There's some grandma with her vegetables. You know what I'm talking about,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not like that here, you know? And even you can take the subway. The subway, people kind of space out. So, you know, you can theoretically, like, you put on a mask, have gloves on, and ride the subway for a few stops. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal.
And you live in the middle of the major city, right?
Yeah, like yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And other, like, smaller cities is just way more like that. You know, villages and everything, you know, there's... You live in the field. And it's kind of like when I lived in the South, I lived in Arkansas. I mean, I don't see how you can quarantine there because all the towns there is just a crossroad. And it's like Sonic, Burger King, Wendy's. And then, like, people just live all over the fucking forest and shit, you know, and just driveway.
That's America.
Right? So what's the point, you know?
Right. The bigger problem is the cities in America. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why there's such a divide what people think we should do in America. If you live out in the middle of nowhere, you're like, we need to reopen back up. It's insane that I'm closing my hairdresser in the middle of the forest.
Exactly.
But if you're in the middle of New York City, you're like, you think those people are crazy. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
What has, because, you know, like, economies around the world are getting decimated right now because they're closed, mm-hmm. but Belarus mm-hmm. isn't closed. Are you guys climbing? Is there any reports on, like, how it's doing compared to the rest of the world?
It doesn't matter because we don't do shit. Our economy is basically we get a cut of Russia's economy and that's it. They give us some oil and we resell it.
They give you a cut.
Yeah. They basically, and their economy is all oil based. So they just take the oil out of the ground, they sell it, and they give us some of that cash.
Well, that's not great for right now.
That's not good right now. Yeah, it's kind of a bad time to be in the oil game.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah. So we're all fucked.
Do they give you barrels to store in your backyard to try to get the price?
Hey, I honestly looked into the thing, and it's not like oil is free. It's just the money is an illusion. Is that pretty much the conclusion? That
oil is free. Yeah, that is 100% true.
So you can get gas, and it's like, is gas any cheaper? Because gas is not getting any cheaper.
In America, it's way cheaper.
Yeah,
I mean, at least where I am, it's
under $2 a gallon here, which I don't know how that translates, but that's really cheap.
It used to be like $4 a gallon, and now it's less than half. It's less than half what it used to be.
Well, we are getting screwed because before that, $1 was 2 rubles. Now it's 2.5. So
So we should go to Belarus. Another reason.
Yeah, if you've got a bunch of,
I can throw my kids in. Wait, I can throw my kids in school. I can go to a soccer game. I can
sauna,
which I can take saunas. I can open up a business. We can do a live podcast. We're not drawing more than 50 people.
Yeah.
we can live our lives there.
We definitely won't draw more than 50 people.
No.
We'll do a 10-person show.
Yeah.
What do we care?
You can find a Belarusian mistress. That's popular. You know, that's something I recommend.
I think that's allowed in my marriage contract. I think that's allowed.
Hey, you don't have to. We don't have to disclose it, man. Come on. Yeah. We'll do it the speakeasy style, baby. Come on.
I'm going for it.
So what do you guys hear about Russia? Because we hear that, first of all, I was like, no cases ever. They were just reporting like, whoa, Russia somehow is the one country who's escaped this. Mm-hmm. Now the cases seem to be ramping up. But is our news the same as your news? Or how does that work?
Yeah. They didn't take it seriously. And then they kind of followed the New York and Italy model Russia and Belarus are very much alike, but Belarus is not as corrupt. And we have more, everything is kind of more well-structured. That's what we're known for, you know, and well-organized. Yeah. Like, for instance, our medical system is not getting overwhelmed. You know, we can pretty much handle the people coming in, and they're not some regions in Russia are just basically overwhelmed and they become the hubs of infection. That's the problem. And lots of doctors are dying. Lots of nurses are dying. You know, there's a doctor who supposedly during the meeting fell out of the window. So people are going insane. Yeah.
Jeez. Clumsy doctors over there.
That's how they solve malpractice in Russia.
Yeah. It's actually insane. I follow it very closely. And it's just every year it becomes crazier and crazier. The corruption stories. And I could start telling you, you think you know the craziest stuff, but it's just tip of the iceberg. Like, if I started like unfolding this whole thing to you, you would not believe what I'm telling you, you know?
And then can you, like, can the Russian government, do they have the ability to come into Belarus and arrest people if they want to or whatever, however that might work? Or are you pretty autonomous?
we're now very much more autonomous than we were before. We used to be on the way sort of to a unionized sort of just basically the same country. We right now, we're pretty much the same country in terms of that the borders are open, but we have separate currencies and everything. But I don't need a visa in Russia, for instance, you know. So it was pretty lax before. Now I think they closed the border for the time of the pandemic. But and we're kind of growing apart because, you see, Putin is his new term. He needs to kind of renew his term on the on I think it's 2024, right?
We should interfere in that election.
See, well, that's the thing. According to the Constitution, right now is his last term.
That's funny.
Yeah, exactly. So he needs some kind of game, you know. And at first, people thought maybe we'll create a new country that's like Union of Belarus and Russia, and he'll become the president of that.
But our loophole.
Yeah, but our president was like, no, fuck that. You know, and so he was like really tough on that. So that's why now in Russia, they're trying to change the constitution. Have you heard about that?
Yeah. No, I have not. Phyllis,
spoiler alert, they're going to change it.
Yeah.
No, but they're putting so much stuff in there. They're just kind of like, they're freestyling, you know, they're right. Putting all kinds of stuff in there.
What are some big things? Give us some hits.
For instance, the Russian nation is the Osnova Obrazuyushchaya. It's kind of like, so that the, because, you know, Russia has got a bunch of minorities, but they want to make the Russians basically the white people. I don't know how to explain it.
Okay, right.
Like, you the know, Russians. Like, yeah, the Russians, Russians, yeah, the real, real Russians are going to be the base of the nation, you know? It's ridiculous and racist, you know?
Yeah.
And then, that constitution basically declares it kind of like restarts his count of presidencies. So now he's on his fourth term or something like that, and he just kind of like
Originally he was the president, and then he actually honored, like, he went to be like what, prime minister in like the 2000s.
Medvedev.
He's like had a puppet, and then he came back, but now he's got even more reasons. Right, that's how I understand it.
Well, so, yeah. Now he's afraid, basically. Yeah. He's afraid to give power because as soon as he gives power to somebody else, who knows what they're going to do, you know? He's afraid of what the people are going to do with him.
What do they tell you, or what, not you, but what do they tell, what did it say in the press about where this started? Because there was a thing, obviously it started in Wuhan, but who started it? For a while, China was trying to say the U.S. military started it. And then, go ahead.
Well, basically, when you listen to, I don't do it, but if you just watch the national TV, it's kind of like Alex Jones, basically. It's crazy.
That's your official TV station.
Yeah. If you think
so, it's conspiracy TV.
Well, yeah, but it's all like propaganda, and they just make shit up on the spot, man. And it sounds as crazy as Alex Jones, you know?
What are some of the better theories that they got?
Well, they always blame, all their news is how America is trying to like undermine our sovereignty, and then Ukraine, and they always focus on Ukraine. The Ukraine are fascists and blah, 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 blah. And then America is trying to like sabotage us and everything. So, but if you listen to like independent news sources now, yeah, like, I mean, I've heard the news that it's like a man-made virus and everything. Oh, well, of course, the whole the vaccine is going to have a chip in it, and it's all the 5G towers.
Oh,
I haven't even heard
that's
that.
That's a good
one. What is that?
Really? Dude, yeah. That's a very prominent theory.
Don't take the vaccine. It's going to have a chip in it? How are you going to put a chip in a vaccine?
It's a microchip, man. It's a nanochip.
Microchip. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Nanochip. That's yeah.
$1 billion idea. They should
this
do that.
This is a great idea.
and it's all invented by George Soros and Bill
Gates. The Jews. Yeah.
Bill Gates.
The Jews.
The Jews, for sure. The Russian Orthodox Church, one of their like extreme leaders, he basically just fled out and said that it's all a conspiracy. He said everybody who wants to close the temples, the churches, may he be damned, and may he be sent to the, and he named the region where the like the Jewish autonomous region in Russia, Azerbaijan. So So he's basically saying this is like a Judeo-Masonic conspiracy, and he called it a pseudo.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a pseudo pandemic. That's good work.
I saw
too,
that
you know?
Your president said pseudo pandemic is what he calls it.
Yeah,
right.
It's a pseudo pandemic. And all those 5G towers. Come on, you've got people burning 5G towers because that's how it works. You get a nano vaccine, and
but you guys have all the best. You're the best IT people though, so you should be able to crack that if that's the.
Right, but we are our IT people. They just get the requirements, and whatever you tell us to code, we'll.
You have to do it. Yeah. Follow orders.
Yeah, follow orders.
So it will be interesting. I mean, I don't know if this is the right terminology, but you guys are essentially like, if you're not social distancing, you and Sweden are the guinea pigs of the world right now. Just like, what happens if we do nothing?
Yeah. Are you annoyed, by the way, that you don't get any respect? Sweden gets all the headlines in America. As a country, doesn't do anything.
Yeah, but they don't.
Talking about Belarus.
It's only us. We're the only outlet.
Very Russian phobic. Yeah,
you guys.
I'm glad we're under the radar because if they start translating his speeches, then Trump is going to be the intellectual. You know.
Yeah. Well, that
so
is
your president
one thing.
Doesn't like Putin, but he also is, in his own way, very similar. Is that or no?
He's kind of wise in his own ways, but he used to run a collective farm. You know. So he's like a farmer, like a wise farmer. And he's got kind of a way about him, you
Where
know?
Where have I heard this? A farmer becomes president. Where have I heard this before?
What could go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. So it's, I don't know. I mean, if you like mediocrity and you like shitty life, Belarus is...
That's great campaign ad.
Yeah, it's the country for you, you know? It's basically a place where they called poverty middle class and people are happy. If you make $500 a month, you're considered well-to-do. And it's not like the stuff is super cheap, you know? I mean, stuff in America, there's nothing cheaper than Walmart in America, I'm telling you.
In Arkansas.
And that's the cheapest stuff. Yeah. Walmart in Arkansas or like Sam's Club. I think it's the cheapest stuff you can find on the planet, dude.
It's cheaper than Belarus.
What were you doing in Arkansas, by the way? You were.
I went to a Christian school.
With Drew Freilich.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. That's a whole other topic, but yeah.
Baptist, was that correct? Baptist?
Church of Christ.
Church of Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, not of Latter-day Saints. But,
no. Current-day Saints.
Current-day. Yeah, we're the current-day Saints.
Current-day Saints. Much more.
All right, well, that's for next podcast. We're going to go into that.
Yeah.
But
Are you guys having a military parade in a couple days?
Dude, I was just going to say that because that's the craziest stuff.
Because we're fired up for that.
We're excited.
Exactly.
We want to watch. Said, how do we watch? Yeah.
Dude, seriously, man, we're going to have the fucking parade, man. That means just like flooded the streets. Usually are flooded with people, man.
In your town, in Minsk?
Yeah, in the capital. And I hope nobody shows up, man. I don't know how they're going to do it. Maybe they're going to all space them out. I don't know. I don't know. Because, listen, it's for the, the veterans of the World War II, right? I mean, they're like 100 years old. They're like the top of the...
They should not be... Yeah, those... If anyone who's alive still who's a vet from World War II should not be out in the public with a lot of people. Those are the number one...
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Or not even
if
it's
they are out
irony.
In the public, they should have a lot of vodka in them to make sure they don't get it, right?
They should put them all in a sauna to honor the vets. That's the way...
They have like a portable sauna. They're gonna just parade it down the main avenue.
So
greatest Belarus generation is invincible.
So what are the conversations like this, like with your friends out? I mean, do you guys go to coffee shops and you sit around and talk about how crazy this is, or do you have friends who are on the side? Is it split? Like, do you have friends who are like, no, this is the right thing to do? You know.
I mean, first of all, when you go outside, and sometimes I do, you know, and just kind of like. Observe people around. A lot of them are like shaking hands, and you see a lot of that around. Very few people, and you know, they look progressive. They look like hipsterish and everything. They look like they, you know, invented rock and roll. I don't know.
Invented rock and roll.
Yeah, you see some cool person. You're like, are you dumb? Are you? You know, why am I wearing a mask? Are you not aware of what's going on? And listen, I understand when it was like 150 people, I was also like, I was wearing a mask, but I was like, it's 100 people. But then it's like 1,000, I'm panicking. And then it's like 5,000, now it's 17,000, you know? And it's now they're adding like almost 1,000 a day. and there's no plateau in sight. Yeah. So I'm panicking, you know, now I'm not going out at all. But if, like, I'll look outside, people seem to be having fun, you know?
Well, we've talked about this before in the podcast. The weirdest phenomenon that we've had over this whole thing is when, like, Ye and I quarantined on March 10th, I think, for about 10 days to 2 weeks. And then we just, you assume when you're inside your house all the time, you assume everyone else is too. And then you go out on the street and it's like the craziest mind warp to be like, wait, none of these people care? I thought everyone cared.
Yeah. Well, dude, how was it in the States? Like in New York City, if you go out on the street, a lot of people are not wearing masks. Is that?
I mean, Kaplan's there right now.
No, it depends. It probably depends on your neighborhood. Like in my neighborhood, most people are wearing masks. I heard somebody told me yesterday they drove through Harlem and like nobody was wearing masks. She also told me that in her neighborhood in Astoria, which is kind of like to explain it, she said it's a kind of Trumpy kind of neighborhood. Nobody wears masks there either.
Trumpy neighborhood.
So it's like a combination of like, yeah, it's like the basically the white people who are like progressively the same people you're describing. They're all wearing masks and like, but everyone else is like sort of hit or miss. Some are, some aren't. The police are going around though now and handing out masks. And like they can't make you wear them, but they sort of guilt you into wearing them.
But see, in Russia they didn't take it seriously, and then they created this quarantine, and it's kind of harsh, you know. And now you see videos of cops just attacking people. Yeah,
like, I want to watch those videos.
Dude, check it out. There's one, a really good one, a SWAT team. Five people with like Kalashnikovs and shit attacking a fisherman. An old fisherman.
That's awesome.
I swear to God.
I've been saying for 2 months now on this podcast that I think that if you want to get everyone inside in America, in New York City, you go up, drive up to a basketball game and the cops just shoot five people. That's all. Just shoot five. Everyone will go inside and it'll be over.
I don't understand how a free society works.
Listen, we're in unprecedented times, Kaplan. You gotta bend sometimes. Kaplan, yeah. I mean, Misha, last 5 minutes though, because I know you have to run, but I want to ask you about the stand-up scene and how it's going for you as a comedian in Belarus, because you started with us and we all started together in China. You were doing comedy almost every day, but you were doing it in English. And then you went back and started doing it in your mother language.
Yep. How was that? It was a switch, you know. Basically, I became all of a sudden not so good. But the thing is, there's no competition. There's like 20 comics, man. And, you know, maybe there's 50 people who would call themselves comics. But still, like our open mics, if we have like 20 people signed up for an open mic, that's considered too many, you know. Yeah. Usually it's like 12, 15 or something. You can get enough stage time. So I started kind of developing quite fast. And just because I had that Shanghai Suzhou experience, I had to basically start thinking like my people and start, because nobody gives a shit about my China experience. Did you find that to be true?
I found the first year or so, yes. And then I got, basically, I feel like I got better and I got to a point where I could, well, not only that, I got to understand American culture better and I could figure out what they would be interested in and what they would not. And then I could twist it into that.
Yeah, but, you know, remember like a joke about IE that would kill in the Shanghai? Because here, they don't care. They'd be like, and if you say that you had like a lady, like a cleaning lady, they're like, fuck you.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, making fun of your maid is like a big part of comedy in China.
Oh, yeah.
America, you can't do that because it's like, well, you have a maid.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it depends where you do it, I guess.
I mean, Kaplan, it depends on where you do it.
Yeah. But it's like real bourgeois, right? And in China, it was just a normal thing. And we all felt good about it because we're employing somebody, right? And we're nice to them and everything.
Well, we were just trying to get a laugh any way we could.
That's how I feel. And Turner makes fun of me for having a cleaning person in it.
But honestly, right before COVID, the infrastructure, like the 2019 was really great. We had you can go to like two or three sometimes open mics a night and you can have shows. And people like can tour and everything. And honestly, if you want to have, if you want to make like $500, you can do it. You know,
which is what you say some people make in a month.
Exactly. Yeah.
You make that a night.
No, not a night. I'm saying if you want to make the standard Belarusian wage, you can do it.
That's good.
Doing stand up, yeah. But you know what I mean. Come on, that's not. What kind of life is that? You know what I mean. I'm spoiled now, and you know I work with a startup, and basically, if you have a job where you work for an American company, here you're kind of, you're well considered well to do.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of still in between. I was almost tempted to like do it full time, but also it's not like I would spend my time wisely. Like I have plenty of time. You know, my worst enemy is like my alcoholism and my procrastination, you know?
Sure, that's all of us.
Yeah, so for now I can kind of do both, and I'm trying to do both. And as you know, I started writing short stories in Russian now. I've got like an editor that I'm kind of, so I'm doing a lot of like content creation and everything. And the good thing is not a lot of people doing it. And the people who are doing it, some of them are not very good. Like I so wanted you to kind of see it. And I wanted to like look at it through your or like Andy's eyes, because I hope you would see it the way I see it too. There's a lot of hack, you know, and a lot of people who, I mean, comedy here is like what 18 to 25 year olds do. So it's a completely different vibe, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
So, and my stuff, like I try to be like the Lenny Bruce of Belarus, you know what I mean? Like, right. I'm the prophet.
You might be after this podcast, you might get arrested. We'll see.
Yeah. Cool. Dude, I got arrested twice, not for stand up though, but like disorderly, well, I got taken into the police station.
What? Can you give us a quick story? I know
yada yada that.
Just talking shit to like an undercover cop and everything.
Oh, I was that with shouldn't a count.
But I was doing kind of like my stand-up thing, you know, and he didn't think it was funny.
Wait,
it
you were on great stage?
No, I wasn't. I was at this. I basically started I was with a friend, right? And my friend was sitting on the ground. We're kind of drunk and everything, you know. And we're in this like public place, but you can drink there. And this guy just comes and starts telling her to get up and everything. And I go, "Who are you?" And he goes, "Like, yeah, I'm undercover right now, but I'm actually a cop." And I'm like, "Dude, your job is to tell people to get up from the ground. You know, your life has no meaning." I was just talking shit like that. Yeah. And then he just, we go outside, he starts smoking under the non-smoking sign. I start taking a video of him, and I'm like, "Hey, come on, you're breaking the law too." And he just like gestures to some guy, and there's like, and they already have. It's like a place where at 11, there's always like a car that just takes all the drunks and all the...
Nice. The drunk tank.
Let's go, Cap.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this Belarus. This is the best.
It sounds
I'm
fun.
Telling you.
I'm so upset my family left.
Dude, you should definitely come visit, and I'll show you that place. It's an old Soviet place, and all the drunks of the town, you know, they just come and drink there because it's like a public place. It's not a bar. It's more like a store, like Soviet style.
And they're open right now? They're open, just like everything else?
Yeah. Oh, now they're open, yeah.
Sounds like a very safe environment.
Heaven on earth.
Yeah, it's heaven on earth.
Sounds
so
amazing.
Yeah, as soon as this shit comes back to normal, I'm gonna, you know, keep doing it. And listen, you get a following easy because like I've got some people who are interested in my stuff and they're kind of getting it, and I've got a few like-minded comics, so that's cool too. So we're kind of splitting up into cliques, but also we respect each other too. You know, if somebody from Moscow talks shit about Minsk, you're like, "Get the fuck out of here."
Even though
I don't like these people.
Go back to Moscow.
Yeah, go back to Moscow, you know, you provincial fools, you know, who the fuck are you anyway?
Fools.
Yeah. So I love my people, but within ourselves, you know, amongst ourselves, we can kind of like squabble and shit, but you know, it's,
that's
I think it's normal.
That's every scene.
But it's a good thing, you know. That's why, you know, I feel like KFK was much better than the other scene in Shanghai, where everybody's like, "Oh, everybody's great. No, you're not great."
Listen, we can say it now. We're long gone. They sucked.
Yeah, thank
what do
you.
I care? Our thank Kung you. Fu comedy had the best club. We had the best scene. We also produce comedians who are still working around the world now, where the other one doesn't.
Dude.
They've all quit. So this is a conversation for like three people, but whatever. No, the rest of people don't know what we're talking about. But
dude, this is so refreshing, man, because sometimes you can feel so isolated here, you know, because people, they think they know stand-up, you know. After 3 years, they already start headlining and everything, and Some of them have never heard of like Lenny Bruce or Patrice O'Neill, or they all know Louis C.K., you know, even though I've never seen a good translation of Louis C.K. And in fact, when I watch him in Russian, I'm like, oh my God, he's vulgar and he's, you know,
well,
he's just
jerking
so
off.
Have you seen him? Have you seen him jerking? Yeah, I was gonna say, does the jerking off in Russian? How does that? Yeah, how do you translate that?
They were completely fine with it. It was funny that you tell that story, and they're like, "What's the problem? What did you do wrong?" It's like, okay, but what did you do wrong, though? You know?
Yeah. A cop was doing that at that bar.
Gosh. All right. Well, Misha, thank you, man.
I have one question real quick. Because I have FC Minsk is facing FC Gorodea tomorrow in soccer. You can't give me. Who do I bet on? Do I go Minsk?
Dude, let me talk to my
right,
guy.
Get back to me.
I need some action.
I need some action.
I'll give you some tips.
Misha,
sure.
How do people find you? I know you have a podcast. It's in Russian, right?
But just my channel, my YouTube channel, and I'm on Twitter, but it's all in Russian. Yeah, listen, all my content is now in Russian because. Yeah, it's easier. There's no competition.
Yeah,
so,
cool. All right, we'll link it in the bottom of this episode.
Awesome.
Thank you very much, Misha.
We'll talk about, other stuff.
Sounds good. Great to talk to you. We'll see you later.
I love you guys.
Thanks for doing the pod. Appreciate it.
Love you too, Misha.
Stay safe.
Bye-bye.
All right, Kaplan, let's get to the news.
All right. Play the music.
Thank you to Misha Kalin for doing the podcast. That was fantastic, Kaplan.
He had to run. The authorities, I think, were at his door for some of the content there.
He had to go to a meeting. Let's just set the record straight. He had a meeting to get to. But that was awesome. I want to hear more. But first,
did he have to go to a meeting? He had to actually physically go. That's the difference, by the way.
I think he had to physically go to a meeting.
Wow.
Yes.
And
Zoom. Had to go to a military parade as well.
Ooh.
So first news story of the week comes to us from Time Magazine, Kaplan.
Yeah.
Big news out of Belgium. Officials say to save the country's potato industry, Belgians must eat more French fries. This is a problem that would go over very well in the household I'm staying in right now. My niece, Natalie, that's all she eats, French fries, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Actually, Ruby Kaplan loves French fries, and she loves them with like a show of pasta and French fries.
Yes.
It's like all white meal, or rice and French fries.
Same here. It can be anything plus French fries.
Yeah.
But usually it's pasta. It's pasta with no, maybe cheese, but definitely no sauce.
And, you know, there's some kids' menus that like understand this. So sometimes a kid's menu, you'll get like macaroni and cheese. Like everything on a kid's menu will come with French fries, I've noticed, at restaurants when they used to be open. And like, you'll be like, macaroni and cheese will come with French fries. And you think that's disgusting. Why would an adult would never do that? But
I don't
kids
think,
do that.
Yeah, they're not. Children are not thinking children of what think, is this pair best with.
Yeah, and that's what the Belgians need to start thinking. Is what I'm trying to say. If they want to get their people
sense.
To eat,
it's just give me what I want to eat. I don't care if this goes well with that. Just give me what I want. I want French fries.
Yeah, well, I think in Belgium, they have too many potatoes basically because of everyone being on quarantine and people aren't going to their like fancy Belgian French fries, you know, like the pommes frites. Have you been to that place in New York or those kind of places?
No, come on.
These fancy French fries place. This is the problem. Belgian French fries, I don't know they are in Belgium, but in America, they're like $10 for like a little, because they put them in that thing that like wrapping newspapery cone French fries.
Yes, it's if you put French fries in a newspaper, immediately they cost $7 more.
Yeah, and if you, instead of ketchup, if you have curry ketchup or like some fancy dipping sauce, you can charge like $12 for a thing of fries at McDonald's would be $2.
Yes.
And I think that's the problem. They're being people are fine with that when they're in like party mode. I'm going to restaurants. I'm living it up. But now that you're in quarantine and you're getting things to go, whatever, you're not going to – why would you do that with French fries? You're just eating frozen bagged French fries like everyone else. And so
I would imagine Belgium French fries in Belgium are probably not as expensive. But maybe so. Who knows?
You think it's one of those things where we are charging more because we're – charging Belgium.
I think anything in America, if you throw a European country's name on it, you can charge double. Everyone knows that. And that's what's happening.
So they need to call them like freedom fries in reverse. The way we did it. And then people realize it's patriotic.
It's patriotic to eat the fries. Yes.
What do you think is the item that we would need to like we're going to have this problem with in America? Like this is going to like patriotic duty to eat.
I mean, hopefully it's pork. I really hope it's pork.
Oh, you're gonna.
I have a friend right now who his son raised a pig for 4-H class. Do you know what 4-H class is? You're familiar, right?
No idea what you're talking about.
Are you serious?
What does that mean? 4-H class, like army?
4-H.
Is that like, that sounds like something out of the 50s. What's 4-H class?
All right, this is what people, you know, not in your fancy-pantsy New York City high-rise apartment, but people who live in real America, what they do is in school, in junior high, in high school, you can join this club where you raise an animal for a whole year with the
idea. This is not a bit.
No, the idea, I mean, listen, I think most people listening to this podcast outside of you and Weber will know what I'm talking about. You raise an animal, and then at the end of the year, you sell it so it can be slaughtered for food. It's a pig, it's a cow, usually it's a pig, whatever it might be. My friend's son, Scott Kate, he's raised a pig. His son's raised a pig all year. Now, you can't sell pigs because none of these, no one's at work at these pig farm, at these pig factories or whatever you sell it to, right? So he's trying to now, he's sending out an email being like, does anyone need a pig?
But
typically you get to keep the money. You know, you sell the pig, whatever you sell it for, someone cuts it up into bacon, you keep the money.
Yeah. But two things. One is that isn't there a shortage, a meat shortage? I was worried about you because Tyson meat plants, they're like had an outbreak of coronavirus.
Yeah, but it's a double-edged knife here because there is a shortage of beef, but there's also a shortage of people. No one's going into work at these pork. I mean, sorry, no one's going into work. So those pork places aren't buying. They're not buying pigs as they used to. So literally, my friend can't get rid of this pig. Now
he can't sell it to a person, though? Because he knows how to slaughter it. You have to know how to slaughter it.
So that's what he's doing. He told me yesterday he's putting out an email just to everyone he knows. Like, does anyone want a pig? $3 a pound.
This is like a modern version of Charlotte's Web. Someone, like, the pig's going to survive. Somehow the spider created the coronavirus.
Exactly. Kaplan, last story of the week comes to us from the Miami Hurricane, my college newspaper. I used to write for the Miami Hurricane. We're going home.
Your picture's on the wall, I believe, in the headquarters there.
It's on the
wall. Famous alum.
Yes, it is. Very, very much so.
You wrote that expose in Highlight. I remember accompanying you for that, right?
You did. You and I went to Miami Highlight and got drunk on a Friday afternoon and gambled on sports.
Yeah.
UM instructor, University of Miami instructor resigns after TikTok of pornographic bookmark goes viral. Let me read the rest of this because those are a lot of words that don't seem to go together. A University of Miami instructor was teaching a business analytics class over Zoom and sharing his screen with the students when one student spotted something unexpected, a pornographic bookmark tab describing college girls. This is a bookmark. It wasn't a video. Right. It was a little...
How do you see somebody's bookmarks? I hope.
I don't know, but this guy resigned based off of that. His name's Jong Peng Jong.
Shout out.
John in English is a J-H-O-N-G. His last name, Jong, is in Chinese, Z-H-A-N-G. Yes. But anyway, he's no longer employed at UM. I disagree.
I'm reading the bookmark was Busty College Girl F-U, and then it was cut off, I guess.
Maybe it was UF. Maybe that's the problem, that it was University of Florida.
Yeah, you got to be smart about the porn you're looking at.
Yeah, you got to stay local.
I mean, we're doing our first ever Zoom podcast, and I don't know. Can you see, like, my bookmarks? Because I've got to figure this shit out now.
No.
I don't want our fans...
No, I can't. I can only see you. So what?
Oh, because I'm not sharing a screen with you. So I'm not going to share a screen.
No. Definitely don't share a screen.
That's got to be. I got to see what's up. Let's see. I got Belarus gambling ready for. I don't have any porn up. All right, good.
What do you think? Do you think that's a fireable? I mean, he didn't fire. He wasn't fired. I think you should be fired for being an adult and having TikTok.
No. They made a TikTok of it. They made a TikTok of his screen and they shared it. That's what it is.
Oh,
like they did a TikTok video. Yeah, that's so lame. What a bunch of snitches. Yeah, this whole coronavirus is breeding. I've been talking about this before. Like, while I'm against people who aren't social distancing, I don't like all the narc culture it's inspiring.
A generation
taking photos
of narcs.
Yeah, and now we're having it narcs on your professor. Your guy's trying to teach you a class. He's trying to make you wouldn't even have known that he likes busty college girls. And what's wrong with liking? They're not underage. As long as they're college age, they're above age. How old's the professor? What if he's?
Well, if they're underage, then he should be going to prison.
That's a different thing altogether. But he's not allowed to like
busty college girls. I mean, who doesn't like busty college?
Not to mention, we're all figuring out technology together right now. It took me an hour just to start doing this podcast because I had to get a Zoom account. I had to then figure out how to share, how to.
And he
call
might not
you
know
Zoom.
Anything about text. He might have somebody might have sent him that once. He might be on some chain with some creepy uncle of his. He can't get off the chain. He gets these emails. He accidentally bookmarks it. Who knows?
I have an idea. How about instead of getting this guy to resign, this is what I would call a teachable moment.
Yes,
the professor's
thank you.
Been teaching you all semester analytics. Why don't you return the favor and teach him how to be more discreet when he's enjoying himself?
Yeah, and if you're going into a career analytics, I mean, you might have to have. You might have to look at some porn on the internet sometimes, and you might not have the most exciting job.
You're definitely going to be working with people of all ages. This thing that college kids don't necessarily understand. Not everyone's going to be your age.
Yeah,
you're going to be working with a 65-year-old person at the cubicle next to you,
who might be a creep on his computer, but it doesn't mean he's doing anything wrong.
God bless him; he's not the Zodiac killer. He's just trying to have a good time.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is the podcast.
That's tough world we're living in.
Misha Kalin, thank you for doing it. Everybody, check me out Friday. This Friday, I'm a Zoom comedian now, as we talked about earlier. So Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, I will be on Zoom. You can get it all at turnersparks.com. You can register. Either hang out Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, or next Monday night. That is May 11th at 9:15 p.m. Eastern. Either one of those, I'll be doing comedy on Zoom. It's a great time. Come hang out. Cap.
Are you gonna share any porn by accident? With
I will
the,
not.
With the,
I will guarantee not
doing
to do that.
Any prop comedy? No.
None.
All right.
That is
we'll
the
check
podcast.
It out.
Kaplan, what should we do?
Get lost.
Get lost.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.